So this is Susie from MERP, and I'm here with Dave Lizio from Nonpoint. How are you?
Not bad. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So you came from Spokane last night.
Yeah.
Got Portland tonight. What's up for tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to be in Seattle.
Oh, that's a nice easy drive.
Yeah, a little short one tonight. It'll be a nice break from the usual 300-400 mile drive we've been making. So,
have you hit San Francisco yet?
No, not yet. I don't know that we're not going to be there on this tour. Actually, I've never been there.
Oh.
So,
you've been to Portland before?
Yes.
It's a nice city. Yeah. So, the new Nonpoint self-titled album that came out.
Yeah.
Three new members. You're one of them.
You got it.
How's that feel?
Pretty wild, actually. I mean, it's interesting just kind of being thrown right into the mix, you know, but the fact that we were able to kind of bring a whole new lineup and, you know, new members and everything and still, you know, create an album together that sounded, you know, very signature and on point, you know, with new members and, you know, new songwriting and stuff. It was pretty fortunate, you know, so.
I watched sort of, you know, the process over the last 6 months or a year or so. And it was pretty cool, especially with the new album coming out. People are saying that it's the best Nonpoint album, and then the members of Nonpoint that are the original members saying that it's a new breath of fresh air.
It's been really encouraging to see so many old school fans embracing the new music, you know, because it was, I don't want to say that we were nervous or worried that they wouldn't like it, but I mean, it's 6 albums to live up to, you know, and the fact that you know, even if it's not their favorite, it's one of their favorites now. It's like their favorite since, you know, usually Statement or To the Pain seems to be the two that most fans really, you know, seem to latch onto. So if this new album isn't their favorite one, it's their favorite one since those. And that's, you know, that's like, it makes me like the happiest dude in the world.
I'm
so
sure. What band were you in before?
I was in a local project with all the new members actually from Chicago. We were called In Cinema. Yeah.
Does it still exist?
I mean, like, we have plans to, you know, keep it going, but obviously it's very hard to, you know, do that kind of thing if we're always doing this, you know. So there's not much time for it, unfortunately. But it's great music, though, and we're very, very proud of what we did there, too. You know?
That's pretty cool that the three of you came in, you know, from a different band, so that you guys are already connected. Do you guys write it all on the road?
Yeah.
You have studio in the bus?
Yeah, I mean, like, makeshift, they would call it, you know. But basically, yeah, we do writing on the bus, and that's, I mean, you never stop writing when you're, you know, when you enjoy writing music. It really, it's one of those processes that you never stop doing. So
I read that you guys recorded with Johnny Kay.
Yeah.
And that he had sort of an unorthodox style of recording, and that you guys didn't face-to-face meet during the writing process. You did email and the internet. Do you think you'd do that again?
Well, I mean, that was actually something that we did before, way before Johnny. I mean, that was how we wrote. We had almost 30 songs going into the studio, you know, and we sat down with Johnny and picked out the ones that we felt were the strongest platforms to work with for a new album. And so, I mean, a lot of that email back and forth stuff, that happened just kind of, you know, very organically. And it was, you know, that wasn't, you know, anybody telling us to do it that way. So
when you have 30 songs going in and you want to pick, you know, 10 or 12, is that a hard process?
Yeah, it takes a lot of time. You got to sit down and listen to a lot of stuff and, you know, it's not that the songs we didn't pick weren't good enough. It's just we felt like the other ones were more complete and ready to go. You know, I mean, it is, you're still on a time crunch when you're in a studio. It's not like you have an unlimited you know, amount of time to go in there and just do whatever you want. So
when you write music and then the singer comes in and writes lyrics, and the lyrics on that album are all pretty full of angst and, you know, it was interesting because as I was reading them, you could apply them to like a relationship or war or the state of the world and all of that. Did you have that in mind with the music when you came into it?
No, not necessarily. I mean, that's kind of one of the magical things about the way Elias writes vocals is that he's not vague. He leaves it very open to interpretation, you know. I mean, and a lot of people can read it and think one thing, and another group of people will read it and think something else. And you might think it's about a relationship, or you might think it's about... I really wouldn't even know how to describe it, but I mean, it's very infrequent that his lyrics actually mean what most people think they mean, you know, and that's kind of the cool thing about it. It's not that it's like secretive. It's just, you know, that it's kind of very cool. You can kind of turn them into whatever you want.
Yeah, it makes it apply to more people. Yeah, it was funny because I was like, oh, he must be talking about the state of the world. Oh, he must have had a breakup. No, he must be talking about the government. No,
yeah.
That was awesome. So I know that you guys did a self-titled album. You called this just Nonpoint.
Yeah.
Did you toy around with any other names?
Initially, you know, I mean, it was kind of cliche, but we were talking about calling it Reborn, just because we have a song on there called Reborn, and it sort of made sense to a degree, but I mean, that's something that's been done a million times over, you know, and after really listening to the album and, you know, everyone kind of putting their input on it, I mean, everyone really thought this sounds like a friggin' Nonpoint album, you know, and it's like, you know, why don't you just call it that, you know, so it was a very awkward thing for us to be new members and immediately on a self-titled album and a band that's got a 7-album career now, you know?
Right.
You know, 9 if you count the live stuff, so.
And so videos, you mostly do live videos. I saw an interview with Elias and he said that, you know, the fans like to see you guys live. Do you think you'd ever do a concept?
It's possible. It would have to be the right song, the right, it would just need to be the right puzzle piece, you know, mm-hmm. for the most part. I mean, really what we do is our live show, and that's kind of where we stand out. You know, so, but I'm certainly not apart from doing a concept. It would just have to be something that's unique and not, you know, cheesy. Something that's been done a million times over.
There are some cheesy ones. So the song "I Said It," that's pretty harsh.
Yeah.
I wondered if there was ever any regret on that song.
No.
Has he?
I mean, lyrically even, it's in there. No, we don't regret it.
And so. Elias had a baby recently.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't, but has that softened him at all?
Actually, Marley his daughter was born roughly around the same time I came into the band, so it's I really don't know, you know, but I can tell you right now though that's certainly, you know, priority number one though. He's always on the phone with him or with his daughter and
I was wondering if the next release would be like love songs or
yeah we're gonna do a bunch of fairy tales
awesome?
And nursery rhymes.
Let's see. Rob was really influenced by old school drummers, you know, like Neil Peart and the Police guy. What's his name? Andy or Stuart Copeland?
Yeah.
The Alex Van Halen, things like that. How about you? What are your influences?
Oh, geez, all over the board. I mean, anything from the Beatles to Meshuggah. You know, I mean, it's pretty much nonstop. I grew up listening to a lot of oldies and Motown and stuff like that, and just kind of, you know, found Nine Inch Nails, and I liked that creepier kind of sound, and then I started getting into metal because of that, and I mean, all my guitar chops pretty much came from me playing along to old Metallica and Anthrax albums and stuff like that, you know. So it's just been a constant. I mean, I really do listen to just about everything, though.
Any new stuff you like?
Yeah, like I as far as like the heavier music goes, I'm actually a big fan of August Burns Red. I've really grown to like the music that those guys are doing. There's a band called Blotted Science, which is just a complete monstrosity of a technical, they're like they're wizards basically, you know, but it's out of hand. And I don't know, obviously like Foo Fighters, I think Dave Grohl just can't, you know, you can't go wrong anything he does, so it doesn't, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a that's a question that would take me years to answer if I wanted to properly, you know.
That's awesome. That's what makes you well-rounded. So after this tour, maybe European festivals this summer?
I hope so. I don't know if we're going to be doing Europe this year at all, but I do know that we have plans to leave the country and do something else, you know, on the other side of the Atlantic and maybe the Pacific too, if you know, we get lucky enough. So.
Great. That was it for me. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I mean, whatever you guys want to, you know, that's.
Perfect. You can get on with your day.
No problem. Oh, of course. Thank you.